Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans, and we're going to look there at a verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24 as we talk about healthy, happy, and holy tonight. Healthy, happy, and holy is what we want to look at together this evening for just a few minutes. Now we'll begin in Romans 1 and verse 24. So let's just look at this verse in the first chapter of Romans. Glad to see you tonight. Everybody doing all right? Amen. All right. Romans 1, 24. You see it up here on the screen. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to the impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. He gave them over to the lusts of their hearts. Now, when you read this first chapter of Romans, you know that we're finding mankind going away from God. And there are varied sins that are in this text. But men are going away from the natural toward the unnatural. Talks about homosexuality in this particular chapter, as well as other sins. But what happens when people go away from God? He lets the lusts of their hearts consume them. Now, gentlemen, we've got to be very careful in every one of these areas that we're going to talk about tonight, that the lust of our heart does not so consume us that we are dishonored among those that see us and know us. Now tonight, we want to look at this topic of gluttony that we've announced and talked about. Let me just give you a working definition of gluttony. The inordinate desire to consume more than that which one requires. The inordinate desire to consume more than that which one requires. Now, we have requirements in varied areas of our lives, things that we need and desire. But when we go over and above that, and it consumes us, and we give our body over to that. You know, we had a deacon ordination service this last Thursday. Had one of the gentleman that he visited me before the counseling time, and he said, "Pastor, I don't know why people would ask me to be a deacon." And one of his issues was weight. Now, I've had a lot of men talk to me about being a deacon about lots of topics. I'd never had anybody talk to me about that topic. And he said, "I'm just not sure that if I'm where I ought to be in that regard." And we kind of sloughed it off. And as I said over there, it's an issue that a lot of times we laugh at. Back in the 1500s, one of the Catholic leaders was Pope Gregory at that time. And he renamed the seven deadly sins. Here they are: pride, envy, lust, anger, greed, slothfulness, and gluttony. Now, most times that last one's not on our hit list, is it? Pride. Now, nobody in here has any problem with that, so we just kind of glance right over that one, all right? Amen. Anger. No men in here ever bothered with anger. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Envy, greed, lust. I dealt with this last year in this segment, in this session. We talked about lust. Slothfulness, just being lazy. But then that Catholic leader talked about this last word, gluttony. Gluttony. This inordinate desire to have more than that which one requires. And we just kind of laugh at it and go on. I got a illustration here of it for you. The title of this article, This is just jumps off the page. All seven deadly sins committed at one church bake sale. Unbelievable. An article walks right through all seven of these. This is from Gadsden, Alabama. The seven deadly sins, and they name them right there, were all committed Sunday during the twice annual bake sale at St. Mary's Immaculate Conception Church. In total, 347 individual acts of sin were committed at the bake sale, with nearly every attendee committing at least one of the seven deadly sins. First of all, Connie, 49, openly committed the sin of pride. "My cookies, cakes, and brownies are always the highlight of the sale," she said. Then Betty said, "Every time I go past Connie's table, I have to buy something," said the 245-pound lady who commits the sins of gluttony. I can't wait for my wife to use this illustration over there in that other room. Then the popularity of Connie's mouth-watering wares listed the sin of envy of many, and then went right through and talked about all seven of the deadly sins being at a church bake sale. I had never seen the sin of gluttony dealt with in publication before. That I dealt with this, and all happened at a church. This didn't happen at a political rally. It happened at a church bake sale. Well, we have to deal with these seven issues. And the one that we want to talk about tonight is gluttony. I want to show you three passages of Scripture, and I want us to look at these for just a moment. Let's go to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21. Let's go there. Old Testament book, Deuteronomy. Let's all turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 21. And we'll look at verses 18 and following. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, 18. That is dealing with Old Testament law here, and it says, "If any man has a stubborn and a rebellious son," can I get a witness? Amen. "If any man has a stubborn and a rebellious son who will not obey the father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, 'The son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard.'" I've never had anybody come to my office to talk about a prodigal son and say, "My problem is I have a gluttonous son. Stubborn, rebellious, drunkard, disobedient," yes, but they include gluttony in this list of sins along with disobedience and rebellion and drunkenness. "Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear." Wow. "If a man has committed a sin worthy of death and is put to death, you hang him on a tree. His corpse shall not hang all night on that tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land with the Lord your God, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance." There's all kind of questions out of this text in the Old Testament and killing of a child. And I mean, there's just. But what I want you to see tonight is where gluttony is placed in the list of sin. It's not just something to be swept under the carpet. It's put in the same thing as disobedience to parents and stubbornness and drunkenness. Gluttony is a sinful issue that we need not laugh at but deal with in our lives. The Old Testament passage, Deuteronomy. Then Matthew 11 in verse 18 in the New Testament, look at this passage. Matthew 11 and verse 18. Let's look there for just a moment. I didn't bring you an outline of that. If you want to keep these, you can jot them down. Matthew 11, 18. These may be the last time you ever want to look at these verses. Matthew 11, verse 18. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. Now, verse 19, I don't think I gave you this one, Sharon. The very next verse says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by our deeds. When they accused Jesus of being a sinner, they said he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He's a drunkard and he's gluttonous. Again, see the context of where the scripture places this particular sin in the list of others. They just say he's this and this and this and he's a glutton. Wow. It's a tough word when we look at it in the context of other things listed. Then one last passage I want you to see, and then I want to apply this text to our lives. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look there. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and verse 18. I was watching Jeopardy the other night. I know I'm old now because I watch Jeopardy when I eat dinner. My daddy and mama, they watch the Wheel of Fortune. I'm not that old, so I don't watch that. But on Jeopardy, it was books of the Bible in alphabetical order. And what they would do is give you a book of the Bible, and then you had to give the next book in alphabetical order. Jonah's right. You watched it, didn't you? You watched the program. You sorry rascal, you. I knew somebody had to do it. So when you get over here in Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all right? We always talk about that with General Electric Power Company, the way I tell people, the way I learned as a college student to keep up with those epistles. Philippians 3. What's after Philippians in alphabetical order? You can deal with that later, all right? It was pretty good, man. It was racking my brain trying to get those things in order. I couldn't do it. Philippians 3, verse 18. Well, way to go there, preacher. Get out of Ephesians, you get to Philippians. 3:18. All right, here we are. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God, little g, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. There's a glutton, beloved. This is the gluttonous man. Their end is destruction. They have a God, and their God is their appetite. I don't think he's talking just about what we eat here. He's talking about consumption in every area of our life. When we have the God, the appetite is our God, and our glory becomes our shame. And we set our minds not on heavenly things, but on earthly things. Well, we know gluttony is a sin, and we're trying to drive that home tonight that we'd take this serious. Now, I want to apply this in five areas of consumption and talk about those for just a few minutes and illustrate those with you tonight. So let's look at these five things. You want to jot these down, just maybe they're on a bulletin or something you've got. And these are just things for you to pray about. It's a great list during these next 7 days of prayer and fasting to look at in your life of how in the world do we apply these things in our life. First of all is what I call the gluttony of resources. The gluttony of resources. How many of you at your home, you have more cars than you have people living there? Now, don't raise your hand, but just think about it. You have more vehicles than you have people. Now, my son, Bennett, didn't you come in over here tonight? Bennett's here. And I remember Bennett being our youngest when he finally got his driver's license. We'd come to church, and we would drive one for me and one for Liz and one for Rachel and one for Benny. We had a parking problem, as you always have at this church, we got the new parking lot. And we'd drive four cars. Now just think about that. Our resources. I believe, I'm no economist. I just do good to keep up my own money. But I do believe we'll see gas at $4.75 this year. I believe that. From what I read and see, and I believe it'll jettison. And I believe it's coming back down, but Europe's been doing that forever, and I think we're just going to see that. And we just spend. How many of us at Christmas is thinking of electricity? I don't know what kind of stocks to buy. I'm telling you, I do buy stock, and the only stock I buy right now is electrical companies. I just look around. And I don't buy anything I don't know about, and I know little. And so I've been buying there, but it's been doing pretty good. Just think about Christmas lights. Unbelievable. We don't just have Christmas lights. Now we have Easter lights. We have pumpkin lights. If you're married to a certain type of lady with a certain personality, you'll hang lights 8 months out of 12 at your house. You will. You remember, son, we used to have the house down the road from us. We called it the Holiday House. That's what we called it, wasn't it? Every time we pulled in, they were putting up lights of some kind. And that's what Bennett nicknamed it, was the Holiday House. And I tell you, it got to October. The black and white went up, and we got to Christmas, Easter. They'd have red and white going up for Valentine's here in a little while. You say, well, preacher, is that wrong? Now, I'm asking you to think tonight. What Liz and I are trying to do is drive leaders towards simplicity in our lifestyle for the gospel's sake. And I want to talk about that at the end tonight. But in the gluttony of resources, with our cars, with oil, with electricity, just with water, yards that we just water, and that stuff gets expensive. And if you're over 50, you remember that nobody had a swimming pool, and if you went to swim in a pool, you went to the city pool. And some of you right now are grunting and saying, "Wow, I'm telling you right now, we went to the creek when I said, well, okay, you're that old, all right?" Now just fly into Pensacola. And when you fly in just over the area, when you get down low enough, you look out, you just see them. They're just swimming pools dotted all over. And this is no, we don't live at South Beach. We live in the second poorest county in Florida. And somebody has to fill up all those pools. I'm not saying to you any of that is wrong. And I want you to hear me about that tonight. I'm not talking about even right and wrong, really, with these issues, but I am talking about wisdom and what is good and what is best, what is wise, for the gospel's sake. We can have a gluttony of resources. Every generation says, I want my kids to have it better than I had it. Well, I want to let you know a little secret. If you ever get to the place that your kids don't have to work as hard as you did for what you got, and you give it to them, I'm telling you, they've got it worse than you had it. If you just hand them everything, and they don't have to work the way you did, then you've not done them a favor, you've done them a disservice. Now, I'm not saying you have to be when my dad didn't walk to school barefooted in the snow, And it always amazed me it was uphill both ways, but you get the picture. We can improve, and there are, I'm not against improvement. Much good. What I'm trying to hammer home is gluttony. This inordinate desire to have more than that which we really require. Well, resources. Then we use the word just things. Jesus talked about those that had barns and they tore those down and they built larger barns and then they built larger barns and then they built larger barns. Right across the street from Olive Baptist Church are larger barns. It's called a mini warehouse. Isn't it amazing we live in houses larger than we've ever lived in all of our lives, and we've got more garages than we've ever had with more cars than we've ever had, and now we still have to have a mini warehouse to put all the junk in? I'm just telling you, there's something wrong with that. I mean, you're spending God's money to rent something, to put stuff in you're probably never going to use, when you could give me that money for the gospel. No witness. None. Liz and I kept one of those things for 3 months when we were moving, because we had to get the house done and all that. And I was just amazed at how much that cost. Just month after month after month. And then you fill up one, you'll fill up another one. I am not saying it's not a good business. I'm not saying there are not times that you don't utilize it. I'm simply saying, take a look at your things. Second illustration. Liz and I found this article. And in this particular magazine, and if you're over 50 and you signed up for the AARP card, you get this magazine. The AARP magazine said about us, we are a retail addicted culture. More stuff doesn't make people happier. In fact, once our basic needs are met, the very opposite seems to be true. That's what the liberals say. And they are that. Oh, my Lord. Talking about having children. In Style magazine, this rattled my cage. This author, Rebecca Berry, said, in writing for this article, I remember a statistic I read years ago that an American family with just two children would use the same amount of energy resources raising those two children as an Ethiopian family would use raising 1,000 children. 1,000. Wow. Just being careful about our resources. The gluttony of resources, the gluttony of things. Thirdly, is the gluttony of activity that we do. Pack schedules. I caught myself the other day, I read, and they now have me an electronic day timer. And I also have my old leather-bound day timer that I will not, in Jesus' name, give up. I love it. It's the way I've organized my life. But now they're putting me on electronic. And I read a guy said, if you have two calendars, you are an idiot. That was his line. And I raised my hand. I said, I am guilty as charged. And I found myself, and somebody asked me, said, can you? And I'd learn over my leather day timer. And I said, well, I'm not sure. Let me go over here and I have to look. And I'm not sure. I better ask Beth too. And all of a sudden, my schedule, it's just going 1,000 places. Packed schedules. You going to take a vacation this year? Are you going to rest on your vacation this year? Or will you have to take a week off when you get back from going to do whatever it is you're going to do in order to rest? Probably so. Because we don't take vacations to rest, we take them to play. We're noise gluttons today. How many of you got a phone on you right now? Just raise your hand and say amen. How many of you got it turned off? How many of you have sent an email since you've been in here? How many have sent a text since you've been in here? All right, good. I would have, but I left mine in my office. Leo text between songs. Don't you, Leo? Amen. I hear him laughing at me in the back. I'm laughing at you up here. Amen. I'm not saying any of these things. I'm just saying if you're not careful, they will trap you. And we get addicted to noise and phones and iPads and computers. And Psalm 46:10 still says, be still and know that He is God. Beloved, your time with the Lord in the morning is for a purpose called a quiet time. You ever been on your knees in the morning having your quiet time? And you hear an email pop in? Whatever your beep, beep is. And you'll get up from talking to the Father to go see what somebody forwarded you. I'm telling you, if you're going to get quiet in our culture, you are going to have to work at it, work at it, work at it, work at it. This is the gluttony of activity that we're just all wound up in. I am so tired this week because of this thing in my life. I had a wicked week, time-wise. And I just confess, I was a glutton. And I'm paying the price for it right now with my left hip. It is every bit my fault. I just stayed in my car and I was going. And it was things that just came and I felt like I had to do them. But they were long pulls and long hauls. And one was playing and another one came on top of it. And then another one came. And man, I was just running with my tongue hanging out. And then we had this little get together for a wedding. And y'all, that makes you tired. Did y'all know those weddings make you tired? I mean, they just, ha ha. Had my buddy from out in Arkansas call me. He said, "You're not preaching the day after the wedding, are you?" I said, "Well, I really am." He said, "Oh, I wish I'd have called you and told you, please don't do that." He said, "You just need to rest after." I said, "Well, we're in the midst of this 40-day thing." And he said, "I don't care what you're in the middle of. You ought not do that." He said, "You ought to have somebody there that's in their right mind to preach the day after that." He's just getting a glutton of activity. Number four is the hard one. It's the gluttony of food, the gluttony, we are gluttons with food. There's an old French proverb that says, gluttony digs its grave with a man's teeth. We dig our grave with our own teeth. Proverbs 23, boy, you ought to read this. Proverbs 23, verse 1, look at this. Just hear the word of the Lord. This won't come up on the screen, I don't think. Proverbs 23. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. Put a knife to your own throat if you are a man of great appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. Mm. Now, what he's saying there is you go in, somebody throw a spread, and you sit down with them, and you'll get carried away with what they feed you. Boy, I'm telling you, the president took a beating last week having the Chinese president here. The comedian's been wearing him out over what they fed, because the Chinese hold all the cards on the debt, and so they didn't know what they were going to have, and I mean, they've just been wearing him out. But what Proverbs tells you is be wise about what you're going to eat. When you sit down at the king's table, be very careful, and don't let that man who can offer you all of this get your mind as he gets your appetite. Well, now, guys, be very careful about the way you eat, because in the area of gluttony, food comes into this. A few years ago, Liz and I were asked and talked into, and we did it. We took four, I believe it was four, Japanese exchange students for a weekend, and they came and lived at our house. And I will never forget, one of the girls wanted to cook for us. Now, that was a trip in itself. So when we said, "Well, what are we going to fix?" And she said, "She needs this, this, and this." And Liz said, "Well, I think we have it." And when we opened the pantry door, that little Japanese exchange student, I will never forget, she was absolutely in shock at what was in our house. Then we took her to the grocery store. She walked up and down the cereal aisle in a fog. I'm just telling you, she was in a fog. I was embarrassed at the extravagance of what we have. And we asked her, and she said, well, they go to market, they have to buy every day. And but it was just tough. Yeah, you go to eat, and they always want to know if you want to supersize. You eat, now you get a platter. It should be. Now, guys, listen to this. Again, in the AARP magazine. Pampered pets. Health regulations in most cities prohibit pooches from going inside restaurants. But some eateries skirt the rule with dog-friendly outdoor patios. At Pat Troy's in Alexandria, Virginia, a doggy menu offers 4 meaty options. Lamb, stew, and chicken, each served with a bone. But if you have trouble with your animals, Pup and Iron in Fredericksburg, Virginia, is like your own gym. It has treadmills and trainers for the dogs. Sign yours up for one of more than 20 classes, such as the puppy agility or the canine musical freestyle. Or just try open gym where pups frolic in air-conditioned bliss. If my dog didn't come, my daddy shot it in the butt with a shotgun. More than once, I've seen him do it. You'll come the next time, I'll guarantee. And they drag on the ground, you know how they do. Now we've gone from that in the 60s to gyms for animals. Wow. One last article about dogs. The FDA recently approved Slintrol, the first canine diet drug. You put your dog on a diet and buy drugs for your animal. Statistics tell us that 65% of Americans are overweight. Now, I am one of those by their statistics. And I try to work at it a little bit. And, you know, my pant size is ballooned up just a little bit lately. But if you just go to the obesity factor, gentlemen, it's 25 to 27% of Americans are obese. And if you want to find, Brother Jerry's in this room somewhere, Dr. Passmore tell you this truth. If you want to see obesity in mass quantity, go to the Southern Baptist Convention. It is amazing that spiritual leaders have so little physical discipline. Now, I mean, I get in all kind of trouble when you talk about this issue. But you just talk to the medical supply companies. Gurneys are having to be made larger. When they put you in, I hate that thing. Y'all had that MRI deal where they put you in a tube, run you in. I hate that deal. Now, they're knocking me out next time I got to do that. I'm just telling you, put me under something. They're having to make them wider than ever. Broad wheelchairs. Why? We just can't get people in them. This is not a topic that we come to church to hear about. But I'm telling you, it's killing us. It absolutely is killing us if we're not doing something about discipline. And I understand there are many medical issues, and man, this is hard for people, and there's hereditary, and it runs in the family. I understand. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's hard, and I know it's hard. I don't know it from experience because I come from a small family. But I know this. If I don't push back, and I don't walk, and if I don't work out, my clothes bother me. Now, you guys know me well enough and you watch me. You know that I spend some money on some clothes. And you see, I work out so I don't lose money. Because if they get where I can't get in them, that's just cash hanging in the deal. Or I have to go pay somebody to let them out. And then if you get back in shape, you have to take them in. And I'm just telling you, I'm real tight. And I don't want to do that. We just got to take care of ourselves. That's one of the reasons Dr. Passmore built that gym down there. That's the reason we have that. And I thank God for it. People coming in and running and working out. It's a good thing. But we've got to be disciplined people with this particular sin in our life. And then there's the last one. And I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and see this last application of gluttony. Liz and I have been sweating all afternoon. We hate this lesson. We absolutely didn't want to talk about this. It's no fun. Nobody says amen or shouts or runs or, you know, glory to God. You don't go home on Facebook and say, boy, you ought to heard the pastor tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's turn there. In this gluttony of self. 2 Timothy. It is 2 Timothy. Yeah, 3. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. Verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is the gluttony of self. We're ever learning, but we never come to the knowledge and application of truth. We know, but we don't apply. And when we know, but we don't apply, it's the gluttony of self, because we become, as this text tells us in verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now just think with me, men. What if our Olive Baptist Church families came to prioritize a more simplistic way of life for the kingdom's sake? Now, I'm not telling you don't buy clothes and don't look sharp. And I'm not telling you don't let your wives buy makeup. Under heaven, let them buy makeup. Amen. I hope it's on the CD and I'll give them one. I'm not against any of that. But it's gluttony. It's when it consumes us. And we become men that find pleasure. We love pleasure rather than loving the Lord our God. Then when that happens, gluttony has consumed us. Self rules supreme. You've seen it. I think it's in this little eternal life track. It may be in the other one. Yeah, it is in the other one. Bill Bright wrote two little tracks. One is the eternal life booklet that I have here. The other one is the four spiritual laws. And then he wrote one about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you remember that track, there were two big circles, and there was a throne in the middle of both of them. And on that throne is either Christ with a cross or a big S for self. And when we enthrone self, we dethrone Christ. And when we enthrone Christ, we dethrone ourselves. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When we do that, we begin to consume and get gluttonous and come to the place that we have this overriding, passionate desire for more than we need. Churches can become gluttonous. But I want us to be very, very open to a simple lifestyle so that we then can invest more in the kingdom. Now, I don't know if you have it or not, but I would challenge you that you keep a savings account for the gospel. Now, here's what I mean by that. You've got your retirement fund and you got your bank account and all those. But you ought to be putting something aside as God prospers you that will allow you, when God speaks into your soul, to say, I'll go on that trip to New York. Or my kids might want to go on that trip to Ghana. And we've got money here set aside, and that's what that's for. I've got a few folks in our church that keep an account like that. And they say, Pastor, we just save just like we do for anything else. We just put that over there. So when God speaks, I say, how do you do that? They say, we have to give up some stuff in order to do that. So maybe we don't eat out, or maybe we cook more in more, or maybe we don't buy that vehicle, or maybe we don't buy those dresses or suits or workout equipment or what. But we come to a balance where we prioritize the kingdom so we're ready to go. If we're not careful, gluttony will just eat us up because of our desire to have more and more and more and more. Well, I knew you were going to come and just get greatly encouraged tonight. I mean, Liz and I, we talked this afternoon. We didn't want to talk about this. But we know it's before us because we have to deal with it in our own life. Matter of fact, my wife is writing a book on this topic. I mean, she's got volumes of stuff on gluttony. And guys, let me just say to you, if you think it's tough on you and we talk about gluttony, our females over there, they die with this. They die with this. When they talk about going from a 4 to a 6 or an 8 size dress, I'm just telling you, it just craters them. I'm going from 10 to 12 or 14 size dress. I mean, it just, man, you need to really be sensitive to those issues and pray for them, encourage them. You know, I don't even know if I can laugh. You know that commercial where old Abe Lincoln's there? Miss Lincoln says, you know, does this dress make my behind look? He didn't have to say anything. When he halted, he was dead. You know, I love it. But I don't know if I can laugh or not when that comes on. You know, I'm just, I think I need to go get something else to drink, you know. In the area of food, and then we're going to pray and we'll be gone. Liz and I made 2 or 3 about, when we hit 50, that's when it started getting on us. And fat sneaks up on you in the dark at night while you're asleep. It just gets on you. And so we began to look. And so the first thing we did is just sweet tea went out of our house. Because we don't drink sweet tea at our house. Do you know how much sugar's in a glass of that? You drink a Coke, a canned Coke, do you know how much sugar's in a Coke? The same amount that is in 3 pounds of carrots. So all you rabbits, go home and get you some carrots tonight if you want a Coca-Cola. I drink them every now and then, but so I diet, yeah, good. I just had to back up. When your body starts changing, as mine did, I had to deal with that issue and had to start walking, working out, doing some stuff I never had done before because I was just always lean as a rail. But it just comes, and you have to make changes and shifts. And I've done some of that to encourage my wife because she battles it worse than I do because she's short, and she's like her mother, and her mother gets shorter and wider every year. Just does. He's deep and wide. I mean, that's just... And she says, I just don't want to be like that. And you have to encourage them about that. And I'm telling you, you got to verbalize that. And encourage and say a good word. And then if they do get to the place they want to make that change. And I'm just here to tell you, some of the stuff they've heard over there tonight, you hadn't heard here. I mean, my wife is going to give some specifics about how to change diet and all of those things. I'm telling you, you just listen. Listen to what they're saying, okay? And try to be an encouragement to them. And some of it may even bless you and help you in days to come. Well, I want to share with you one more thing, and we're going to be gone. Next Sunday night, I just want to change gears completely. I need you to come. I need you to bring folks, and I need you to come ready. We're going to do four things next Sunday night after we get started. We're going to call out to God in four areas. We're going to cry out to the Lord in solemn assembly next week. We're going to cry out about holiness. We're going to cry out about our own sin. We're going to cry out about our church. And we're going to cry out to the Lord about our families. Because next week really starts the year of the family, which is 2011 at Olive. And my focus has been to get our hearts clean and holy before the Lord so that now we can have the greatest year of family that we could ever think about doing. And I'm telling you, we got enough men right here in this room. If we all just got, squeaky clean before God and filled with the Holy Spirit, our families would be revolutionized just by what's in here. And then it would spread all through our church. But we're going to have times that next Sunday night when we get on our face and we're going to cry out unto the Lord. I'll give some instruction about those things. We're going to get in small groups, and we're going to pray quietly, and then we're going to pray out loud, and we're going to have some testimonies about holiness and how God's changed some people. So don't miss next Sunday night. It's going to be a great, great, great time. I cannot tell you how you've encouraged me by being here on these Sunday evenings. These have been good times for me. I hope they've been good times for you. Many people have spoken to us and how they've been encouraged, and you've blessed us by coming and being a part of Sunday nights with men here in Passmore Hall. So let's all stand together, and I want to have the joy of praying for you tonight before we take off and go encourage our wives, encourage you that you'll pray and fast during these next days. And I know we don't talk about that because Scripture says to do that. Sunday night is a time when I usually... go out to eat, and I will tonight, but Liz and I have been, this month, we've been fasting on Sundays, and it's been a hard day when I do that, but boy, I've just felt renewed energy, and come home from church on Sunday morning, and she didn't have to fix anything to eat, and we just spend that time at the noon time on Sundays, and our fasting time, seeking after the Lord, and it's helped us prepare and pray for tonight as well. And then we'll go out tonight and have a little something, and that'll be good. But I want to encourage you that if you've not done it, that you pray and you fast some during these next 7 days, seeking the Lord for next Sunday night. I believe it could really be a watershed night for Olive Baptist Church to see us get ready to go where God wants us to go in days to come. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, that while you were accused of gluttony, Lord, you rose above that. Father, I pray that you learned while here, that discipline would be in our lives, and that we would not be consumed with resources or things or activities or ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be consumed with you. I pray you'd be King of Kings and Lord of Lords of every home represented in this room tonight. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that next Sunday night the fire would fall and that fresh winds would blow among your people called Olive. Thank you for these men. Bless them richly and encourage them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, men. Have a great night.